Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the contents in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
In this week's Catholic Baltimore, Archbishop William Laurie discusses the death of Freddie Gray and the systemic issues that surfaced during the heated days following his death. What follows is an interview Archbishop Laurie gave to Kevin Clark, senior editor and chief correspondent for American Magazine, in the height of the recent tensions in Baltimore.
Hi, I'm Kevin Clark, chief correspondent and senior editor at America Media. Today we're speaking with Archbishop William Laurie in Baltimore. We're going to be talking a little bit about conditions in Baltimore and what the church's role might be in reconciliation and moving ahead through this crisis. Archbishop Laurie, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Glad to be with you. Thank you.
Could you tell us now, it seems like there's been a quieter night than, of course, the other night when there was a great deal of violence. Can you give us an update of conditions today in Baltimore and West Baltimore?
Sure. Of course, the worst day was Monday, and that's when so much of the looting and burning and real anger erupted, even in the midst of some peaceful protests. The first night of the curfew was calmer. And then last night, there was a very large, peaceful demonstration that took place around City Hall, and that apparently went fine. Today, I'm not really sure what's underway. I'm not sure anybody knows exactly what to expect. I think we are looking ahead, though, to something pretty major on the weekend, Saturday especially.
By major, you mean a large-scale demonstration?
A large-scale demonstration, yeah. I think we'll be seeing that on the weekend.
Okay. Well, what do you think the role of the church should be in responding to this crisis?
Well, we're not a police force. We're not the government. We are a community of faith. And what does our faith mostly tell us all the time, but especially in a situation like this? It tells us that we should be a force for peace, for justice, for reconciliation, and bridge building. And I think that has to be done in lots and lots of ways. I think we're constantly building bridges in our own parishes between clergy and people and among our parishes. I think the church, the parish, is a great catalyst for helping bring together family structures, because what is really so necessary, especially for the young people, is that they have some kind of a home, that there be a place of peace and security, a place where they have dinner. Maybe not every night, like was the case in times past, but once in a while. I think that we play a role in building bridges as well with community organizers, leaders, and law enforcement. In addition to that, we're a place that provides a lot of services. We have, for example, senior employment, senior housing, child daycare, food pantries, health care, right in the city, St. Agnes and Bon Secours, Head Start, behavioral health in three public schools, employment services, a crisis intervention, especially for children, and that's huge. And Catholic Charities, which is outsized for the size the Archdiocese is really in and of the city. The other thing we do, of course, is educate. And we have our community schools, which are doing a wonderful job, struggling financially, but they're like the little engine that could. And I think in addition to that, of course, the big thing you kind of look to a church to be, in addition to being a force for reconciliation and peace and justice, is hope. Hope is in really short supply in these neighborhoods. And sometimes we look at their anger, and a lot of people just first and only thing they can say is words of condemnation. But I think if one lived in those conditions and neighborhoods and saw no way out, the anger, the boiling over, becomes not justifiable, but understandable.
Do you, speaking of that frustration, you know, a lot of people across the country saw the TV images on CNN, and they were surprised to see in Baltimore this kind of an uprising taking place. Can you talk about the conditions in the city that you think, what are the underlying conditions that that maybe are finding expression in some of the angrier incidents that we've seen the last few days?
Sure. We are a very diverse city, and sometimes people will speak of two Baltimores. There's parts of Baltimore that are up and coming. There's cranes in the air. There's old housing being rehabbed. There are businesses opening. And there's old neighborhoods that have maintained themselves beautifully. And thank God, because a city needs to have that. But there's another Baltimore. And it's especially found in West Baltimore, but many, many neighborhoods in East Baltimore as well, and where chronically bad conditions have existed for generations. And so, for example, let's take the Sandtown, Winchester area. Every neighborhood in Baltimore has a name, because we are really not a city. We are a collection of little communities here in Baltimore. In that area, just if you take the adult employable population, about 52% are unemployed. There's no jobs in the area, so fully 30% have to travel more than 45 minutes to find it, to go to their job. The median income, about $24,000, 25% on food stamps. Schools, for all the money that's put in the public schools, and I want them to succeed very, very much, they're not succeeding, and there's
significant dropout rate in Baltimore.
Huge dropout, and the truancy rate. That's a really old-fashioned word, but the truancy rate is about 50%.
Yeah.
Population having less than a high school diploma, over 50%, 61%. Narcotics, drugs. So there's a whole series of systemic problems, and then you have the feeling on the part of residents there, many of them, I don't speak for all of them, that they're kind of disenfranchised. Doesn't matter who's running the government. They just don't feel they've been listened to. They don't feel the bridges have been built to law enforcement. Again, there's many wonderful people in law enforcement doing heroic work, but there is the general feeling that the bridge has not been built as it should be. So I think what happens is that these systemic problems roll along, and then when an event like the death of Freddie Gray comes up, these things bubble to the surface. I think that's what we've seen.
Well, and I mean, I don't want to downplay the problems with the potential issue of police brutality in Baltimore either. The Baltimore Sun had a pretty scathing report on you know, the million-dollar cops out there that are causing a big headache for the city in terms of its community relations. But you're suggesting that what we're seeing is an expression of a broad level of frustration and a sense of isolation and abandonment in the African-American community in Baltimore.
And that's what I'm hearing, that's what I've heard since I've been here. Mm-hmm. From pastors, that's what I've heard from parishioners when I met with parish councils. That's what I hear from Catholic Charities and those who are out and about in the community every day. The one thing I'll say about this archdiocese, and one of the reasons I fell in love with it quickly, is I realize what a good heart it has and how much it is in and of each of these communities. And we would be the first ones to say it's not enough. We would be the first ones to say we have to build more bridges. Mm-hmm. But I think our commitment to the city is important. I think other churches, and we're working with some of the large African American churches in town and some of those major pastors, is very vital as well. I think as we go forward, I think we have to strengthen those ties. We're also blessed to have wonderful universities in the city. They know a lot. A lot of expertise, not just about urban problems in general, which are hugely important, but for me, for the church I serve, we want to understand better the ones that are right here. So I think it's a community-wide conversation. I think the church can be a catalyst in it.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. First of all, we would like to wish a very happy and blessed Mother's Day to all moms and grandmoms. Online at CatholicReview.org today, you will find an article on St. Peter Liberty Town parishioner Stephanie Rubling, a mother of 10 from Frederick who has two sons in the seminary. Her oldest son, Michael Rubling, 26, will be ordained a transitional deacon this year. Also be sure to check out the Catholic Review Facebook page, where our social media specialist, Maureen Cromer, is continuing to gather many photos of daughters, granddaughters, moms, and grandmoms from around the Archdiocese of Baltimore. In addition, be sure to visit CatholicReview.org and scroll over commentary to see all the blogs we offer. Two of our bloggers are mothers, and one is a grandmother, and they always share a wide range of stories and commentary from a Catholic perspective. We would also like to wish a happy birthday to Archbishop William E. Lurie. Archbishop Lurie celebrated his 64th birthday May 6th. The day before, students at St. Philip Neri School in Linthicum sang happy birthday to him after he announced that every archdiocesan elementary and high school will receive a 3D printer. 13 elementary schools were scheduled to receive their printers within the week. You can visit our Catholic education page on CatholicReview.org to learn more about this exciting new opportunity. Catholic leaders say they see what's happening in the city of Baltimore as an opportunity for change. Stay with Catholic Review as we continue to explore the many ways to help strengthen our communities in the city and beyond. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, this is Jennifer Williams.
Do you want to know more about what's going on in the Catholic Church and the world than you can get from your daily newspaper or local TV? Read the only newspaper in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time, the Catholic Review. The print newspaper can be delivered to your home every other Thursday, and you can get fresh news every day online at CatholicReview.org. You can also read the inspirational Review in the Pew, ready for you every other Sunday at your local parish. Find the Catholic Review app on Apple and Android, and follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Wherever your faith takes you, Catholic Review Media is ready to inspire, teach, inform, and engage. Read it today, in print or online at CatholicReview.org.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL.
In this week's Catholic Baltimore, Archbishop William Lurie discusses the death of Freddie Gray and the systemic issues that surfaced during the heated days following his death. What follows is an interview Archbishop Lurie gave to Kevin Clark, senior editor and chief correspondent for American Magazine, in the height of the recent tensions in Baltimore.
Have you been able to take this conversation to the white Catholic part of Baltimore and help them to understand the conditions in other parts of Baltimore where this frustration is expressing itself?
Yes. And I think that that is something that has to be done again and again. And it's a very interesting thing, the way Baltimore is organized, or maybe not so organized. And I discovered this right away. You can be going along, and there is what appears to be a very prosperous neighborhood, or an old neighborhood that has held its own. And then a block or two away, the conditions like those I just described.
Yeah.
It's just like that. It's a city of neighborhoods, and some have held their own, some have not, and they're all juxtaposed. I think living in the city of Baltimore, you're aware of that. But there is a greater social consciousness out and about. For example, one of our most famous parishes in the Archdiocese, Nativity, which is fairly far removed from the epicenter, nonetheless is having a tremendous service for justice and peace in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And I was heartened to see how many of the parishes that not only ring the city but are out even farther are doing the same thing.
Now, are you going to be going to this demonstration on the weekend? Do you think there'll be a significant Catholic presence at this demonstration?
Well, I think there will be. I think that there is something on Sunday that is for all the clergy of the city that is being organized. I will definitely be a part of that. I'm not exactly sure what Saturday will bring, but I'll tell you one of the things I thought might be the most important thing I could do, which is to gather with a group of pastors and ask them to brainstorm with me on how to continue the conversation of building bridges. Mm-hmm. And that will certainly occur on Saturday, and then get ready for the events of Sunday.
Do you think you'll be talking about the issue of police brutality or Black Lives Matter, or the fact that there seems to be a trend of this sort of overreaction on police to unarmed black young men? Is that going to be part of the conversation you're going to have?
Undoubtedly. Mm-hmm. Just to say two things about this. Number one, certainly we have to recognize those who do their job well every day, mm-hmm. and who put their lives on the line, and who enjoy support in the community, and we saw some of that. But then we have to recognize, and it's true in almost any profession, including my own, of people who not only err, but they err intentionally, and who treat people in a way that is brutal and unjustified with excessive force, and who sometimes target people because of the color of their skin. There can be no question that that is an issue that has to be talked out thoroughly, and that we would be looking to the civic authorities to address. But the community has to be heard. Certainly they are being heard by protests, peaceful and otherwise. If ever there was a moment when everyone's attention was gotten, this is it. But here's what worries me. When everybody goes home and the news media is gone, and this is not the news story du jour, and Lord knows it pains me to see it like that, that's when the real test comes.
Yeah.
Are we going to just go back to business as usual? Are we going to have these conversations?
Do you think something more significant has to be attempted? I'm not speaking now just about the problem of the potential problem of police brutality or even malfeasance to the point of homicide. About the, you know, there's a string of cities now where this kind of same conditions exist: low educational attainment, poor job opportunities, poor infrastructure, public transportation. As you say, it's hard to get to jobs even if there were jobs. I'm thinking of Baltimore, Camden, Ferguson. Youngstown, any number of Rust Belt cities across the United States where the jobs have been gone for decades now. Is it time for the country to really sit down and look at this as a systemic issue instead of sort of responding in this piecemeal fashion that it has? I'm thinking of, you know, in the 60s, we had the Kerner Commission looking at, the riots that after the riots took place in the late 60s. Do you think we're reaching that point now where we have to have a national conversation about, you know, some of our declining urban areas or struggling urban areas, I should say?
Sure it is. I think it's overdue. And I think that as members of the church, leaders and members, we have to equip ourselves to participate in such a conversation. And even now, the bishops who have had these situations arise in their own dioceses, at least informally, we are in touch, if only to express support for one another, if only to say, we're thinking and praying about each other. Seems to me that there should be a conversation about this in the church, and it should be a national one. And I think we who face these situations locally have to be informed participants in such a discussion. But then I do think we should also have a national conversation that brings stakeholders to the table and that results in looking at what we need to do to address systemic problems. That's probably the word we're looking at. Structural sin applies and systemic problems applies, as far as I can see here.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to ask you one more question, Archbishop Lori, and then I'll let you go. I know you have more important things to do than talk to me. How, in the midst of this depressing, really, turn of events, how do you find hope and how do you communicate that hope to your parishioners?
I think hope comes from the first of our relationships, and that's the relationship with the Lord who became poor for our sake so that we might become rich, and rich in the way that really counts, which is sharing God's own life and love. It seems to me that that's why our first instinct in these moments is to go and to pray, because prayer is that moment when the hope that was implanted in us in baptism is stirred to life again. Hope is what makes us believe in the dignity of human person, believe in it endlessly, believe that no matter how bad the situation is, we should never give up and that we should keep going. Because there is a God of love and because there is a God of mercy, we derive the strength to try to build a civilization of love. We may succeed, we may fail, but
we keep striving.
But the impetus to keep striving is there, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much. We've been speaking with Archbishop William Lori. We're hoping for a calmer day in Baltimore, a peaceful day, and we'll all be praying for that. Thank you so much for visiting with us here at AmericaMagazine.org today.
Appreciate it.
Hello, this is Archbishop William Lori of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the contents in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
The season of sacraments is nearly here. First Holy Communion, Confirmation, and weddings. Visit the Baltimore Basilica, America's first cathedral, and stop by the gift shop for all of your gift needs. From beautiful frames to crucifixes and crosses, statues, and one-of-a-kind rosaries, the Basilica gift shop has it all. Friendly, knowledgeable staff members can help you select the perfect gift. Also available, Baltimore's very own Mouth Party Caramels, locally designed hand-painted signs and jewelry, plus gifts for Easter, as well as an extensive line of St. Patrick's Day items sure to bring out the Irish in everyone. Visit the Basilica Gift Shop at 409 Cathedral Street in Baltimore, or call 410-727-3565 for hours and directions. Free street parking available directly in front of the Basilica between 9:30 and 4 p.m.
Life can be hard, and at times we feel overwhelmed and alone. When faced with problems, know that there is a group of Catholics who are part of the prayer ministry of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, waiting to lift you and your needs to God in prayer. This ministry is comprised of men and women, young and old, religious and lay, from every ethnic and cultural background. They pray as individuals and in groups, in homes and meeting spaces throughout Baltimore. Like you, they are people who have suffered the same hurts, fears, pains, sickness, loss, and everyday burdens. Learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at www.archbalt.org. If you are in need of prayer, send your prayer request to prayers@archbalt.org or by phone to 410-547-5517. Would you like to volunteer to be a part of the ministry? Prayer ministers are always needed. Please call or email our coordinator, who would be happy to speak with you.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.